In this episode of the Product Management Podcast, we look at the leadership skills you need in times of crisis and turbulence. Hello and welcome back to the Product Management Podcast at pm-podcast.com. This is a special episode that we titled Leadership During Crises and Turbulence. I'm Cornelius Fichtner. I hope you are doing well. We live in troubling times. We are facing a global pandemic, with many of us following stay-at-home orders, and we see civil and political unrest erupting. There are some political leaders who are stepping up to the challenge, others not so much. But what about us, project leaders? What can we do to help our project teams, colleagues, organizations, and even our social circles face these challenges? I've invited Shyam Ramanathan to the program today and discuss leadership during crises and turbulence. Here is what Shyam writes. In times of crises like this, we look to leaders for inspiration, hope, and direction. The last word is the key, as the first thing to suffer in a crisis is direction. Leaders have a guiding vision for the future and turn to hope where others can only see mud. Let's hope in this time of enormous crises, it also unearths true leaders who can navigate the turbulent times and move us into greater futures, however distant that may seem at this time. These are the opening words of his article, 27 Traits of Strong Leaders in Times of Crises and Turbulence, that we are going to explore right now. Enjoy the interview. Hello, Shyam, and welcome back to the Project Management Podcast.
Hey, thank you, Cornelius, for having me on again. It's wonderful to be back with you.
Yes. So what do you hope that our listeners are going to take away from our discussion today?
Yeah, as they say that the turbulent times build great leaders, what I want to showcase is right now is the time for great leadership. And leadership is not something that's only reserved for the CEOs or anyone else. It can be modeled by all of us. And at the same time, this time is not an easy time. So I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, there might be a lot of positive thoughts out there, but still at this time, there is no question that we're going through a very turbulent time. And it might be like this for some time. So there are two ways to handle this. One is to say, hey, I'm going to be miserable for the next year or two, if that's how long it's going to take for the economy to recover, or go the other direction and say that, hey, yeah, I know this situation is tough, but I have some strategies with which I can navigate the tide and make it to the other side unscathed, so to speak. So that's what my aim is, to make sure people have some strategies to understand what leadership is and then try to implement some of this into our own lives.
What we're going to do is we're going to talk about an article that you wrote. It is titled 27 Traits of Strong Leaders in Times of Crisis and Turbulence. We're not going to talk about all of them. We've selected about 7 or 8 of them. Was there some sort of an inspiration, a moment in time when you said, okay, now is the time for me to write this? Here I am.
To be fair, actually, I had written about 22 traits of great leaders, I think, sometime in 2017 itself. Yep. But when this came up, I thought that, hey, that might be a good article to expand on and add some more things. Because after those 2 years, you always learn more. In the next 2 years elapsed, so I learned a lot more about leadership and I read so many books. So I thought I'll bring it all together. And at this time, I thought this article might be the perfect one for this particular time. So I actually, to be honest, the article was already there. I expanded it. I pulled together all the other information that I've learned over the last 2 years. And then I've tried to bring everything into one place so that everybody
Excellent.
Can understand.
Excellent. And now let's bring everything to our listeners, beginning with leaders are visionaries. Why do you say that?
Yeah, actually, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what is leadership, what is management, and it gets so confusing for people. And there's so many people. I mean, I think there's some good joke that, you know, nobody wants to be called a world manager. World leader, yes, but not world manager. So that is something which I thought that, hey, let's just understand that, of course, managers are needed. So I want to make this very clear, because people think that oh, I only want to be a leader, I don't want to manage, then who will do the work and who will get the stuff done? But where the leaders separate themselves from managers is actually setting an audacious vision. And the best example of a vision which I can think of is John F. Kennedy, of course. Everybody knows this, so it's easy to understand. When he declared, even before he knew whether it was possible, that we will put a man on the moon by the end of the next decade. Now, whether it was going to work, in fact, he lost his life in between, but still the vision was achieved. Now, that is a true vision. Now, all of us are not going to dream such big dreams. But let me just give a personal example so that people understand. Now, right now, we're in 2020, and I have a vision that by 2030, I am a recognized leadership expert. Now, it may happen, it may not happen, but I might take some steps from here to for the next 10 years. And then eventually, maybe I'll be called a recognized leadership expert, maybe not. That's what a vision is. You have something that you look forward to, but there is a possibility that it may not happen. But that's what is a vision. But at the same time, you do everything to make sure that the vision happens. So vision is something which is very important for all of us, even in our personal lives. One exercise which I found interesting is, like, imagine yourself in 2039. Now, all of us want to get rid of this coronavirus as soon as possible. But one way to induce some positive optimism into our life is to project ourselves into 2039 and then understand where you want to be when you wake up on 2039, someday in 2039. Oh yeah, I want to be a recognized leadership expert. I want to have this much money. I want to be this level in my organization, and I want to be a leader who makes a difference. So that's what is vision for me.
Mm-hmm. You yourself said you want to grow as a leader, but one of your 27 traits is actually exactly the opposite. Leaders grow other leaders. How does that fit in?
See, the you know what? It's a good point. But the point I'm trying to say is, when we grow other leaders, we increase the esteem that others hold us in. I mean, let me put it in a different way. People look up to people who actually influence them in a way that inspires them to be better leaders. So that's where I'm getting at. Of course, I have to grow as a leader. To be honest, you will not be able to grow other leaders unless you grow yourself. That's a very important point. Unless you grow yourself, there is no way other leaders are going to follow you or going to get inspired by you. I think John Maxwell has 5 levels of leadership. Now, he says the 5th level is where you go to such a level in leadership that others just grow towards you. Now, that's a very tough level for people to attain, but that is the ultimate aim. And the way you build other leaders, and the reason I wrote this is not only for that, it is also for this particular time, right, with the coronavirus in place, with so much uncertainty, you have to have a succession plan, in the sense that if something happens to you, unfortunate event, the organization should still be able to proceed without you. And that's what I meant by leaders grow other leaders. So there is always a succession plan. Or like Jim Collins said in Good to Great, level 5 leaders are always interested in the growth of others, are interested in the organization foremost more than their own ego. So that's where I was coming at on this one for this specific time, is that people have a succession plan in place so that if something untoward happens to them or unfortunate, there is always someone else who can lead even in their absence. That's what I meant by leaders grow other leaders.
The next one is leaders are optimistic. And I think that's important in the best of times when everything is going well, that you're optimistic and you show that. But in particular now, as we are in a bit more trying times, leaders have to be optimistic.
Absolutely. This is what I wrote as, this is the right at the top of the hit parade of any true leader. Like you just said, it is not just at this time. At any time, optimism will be useful. And I've also written an article, Optimist Manifesto, which people, if they look at this article, they can click on that to go for it. But what I think, there's been one thing that whenever we face times like this, it is always important to remember that there have always been times like this. So basically, 1918, I think there was a flu epidemic. Before that, in the 1400s, if I'm not mistaken, there was something in the Mexican flu or something like that. But there's always been things like this which have happened. And the only thing is, we all look at things from our point of view, if you agree with me, Cornelius. What I'm trying to say is, we are impacted on this individually. across the board, across the world, wherever you are. Now, for example, in 2003, the SARS episode came. Now, all of us were there in 2003, but we were not in a particular area where SARS had impacted us. So to be honest, we just went on with our lives. We might have looked at the news and said, hey, man, hope things get okay, but we never got impacted. But this is a totally different time. We are impacted individually, and that is when our optimism is tested. It is the time of true test of optimism is when things are down. And the way you do it is you basically look for a way to get out of the situation, but you know that it's a tough situation. Or like Admiral Stockdale said, confront the brutal facts of the situation, but at the same time, have the belief that you will prevail in the end. That's exactly what optimism is. And one of the ways to be optimistic is to say, hey, this has happened. Now, whether I like it or not, the coronavirus is here. Whether I like it or not, the social distancing is going to be there. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to work from home. Whether I like it or not, there is going to be turbulence in this environment. So how am I going to deal with it? And then you come up with your own version of what optimism looks like to you. And then you take daily action towards that. That's how you build optimism. You have to look at it from your life, your circumstances, and then come up with your own method of dealing with situations. Now, none of us are perfect. Every day when I wake up in the morning, it's not always pleasant, to be honest. I have to work on this. That's why I read my Optimist Manifesto more than anyone else. I read it every day or at least once or twice a week just to make sure, hey, you wrote this, so follow this. So I'm saying these are things which have to be practiced daily. It doesn't happen overnight.
The next one is an interesting one. Leaders are generalists. And if I remember correctly, before we started the interview, you mentioned that this is a new concept that has come up in the last couple of years or so.
Yeah, actually, I don't know. There is a person called David Epstein, and he wrote one book a long back. I think it was called The Sports Gene. And then now he's come up with a book called Range. Now, in Range, what he argues is that we need more generalists right now than specialists. So let's say that there is someone who is so good in developing something. But if there is someone else who is not equally good, but is good in development, but at the same time can also be excellent in communication and leadership, guess who is going to succeed? The guy with a wider repertoire of skills. So there was also a couple of examples which everybody will relate to. So we all know Roger Federer, we all know Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, right from the time when he was like, I don't know, 3 years, he practiced golf. And you knew from the beginning that he was going to be a golfer. Now in golf, that works. But for Roger Federer, the other side of the example, we look at him now, we say he's the greatest tennis player who has ever lived or played. But when he was a kid, he did all sorts of things. He was not even focused on tennis until I think he was 11 or 12 years. So the parallels for us is you never know. Now, we probably are midpoints of our careers. You never know how your career is going to be shaped. But if you're going to take a leadership position in your organization, I think it is imperative that you become a generalist and have an overall view on the finance, sales, marketing, and all the other arenas of the organization, and then be good in all of them, but then build a team who are specialized in a few of the things. But I'm saying if you really want to go deep into an organization, you need to become a generalist to really go very high in the organization, or even to bring the best out of yourself. So developing our repertoire of skills is very important.
I think the next one is probably the most controversial trait that you have in the list of the 27s here. Leaders are quitters. Quitters? Really? We are quitters?
I meant it in a format. I mean, the way I'm trying to look at it is, I'm just going to give a personal lesson first. Let's say you're learning the piano. I'm just giving an example. A lot of us want to do so many things. We have like 10,000 things we want to do. And with the social media prevalent, all of us want to say we are all rounders and we want to do everything. I want to learn piano. I want to learn singing. I want to do dancing. I want to do everything under the sun. The problem with this is, even if learning the piano, right, it requires a lot of discipline, a lot of effort. And sometimes it's real painful, to be honest. I haven't done it and I probably would never do it, but I know that it could be painful. But I'm saying that instead of using that time to learn the piano, putting so much effort, putting so much pain to learn something, I would rather, if it is really painful, I would say quit that and do it, impart the same pain and training to something that might move your life forward or your career forward. This is just a personal opinion. That is one thing. Now, in a business concept, the late Jack Welch, I think he passed away a couple of months back, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, he's one of the leaders whom I really look up to. There's been some controversy around him, but I think overall, everybody agrees he's a good leader or great leader. In fact, some of them have called him the best manager of the 20th century. And there's no doubt that he was a leader. Now, there were three books which I've read. Obviously, one thing which everybody knows is he had a vision at the beginning of his tenure that GE will only be in markets where they can be number one or number two. Otherwise, they'll get out of every other market where they cannot be number one or number two. The reason is he focused. That's what I'm trying to say by quitters. He quit everywhere where he couldn't do much, and he made sure the organization only focused on the few things that will really get them to world class, and that is the arena where they succeeded. So the way it applies to us is we probably are not going to make decisions like that, but we can be decisive in our lives and say, hey, this part, though it is enjoyable, I'm going to quit it to apply the same amount of time onto something where I can make a big difference in my life and my organization. That's what I mean by quitting.
Yes. And you know, the fact that you put this into your article brings me kind of to the next one in the list, because you are brutally honest. You tell it how it is. And in your article, you also say leaders are brutally honest.
Yes. And maybe brutal honesty means that you're candid at the same time. That's why candor is one of the keys to successful leadership. In the long run, in the short run, being a people pleaser works. But in the long run, let's say you're going to be a leader for the next 20 years. You cannot be a leader unless you are candid with your team. For some time, if you're going to be a leader for 1 year, yes, it'll work. The people pleasing might work. But if you want to be a leader for the long run, you have to be candid with your team. You have to be honest. At the same time, one thing I would suggest is this doesn't mean going and destroying people's self-esteem. My first job as a leader at any point of time, even if I have some negative feedback, is to make sure we never attack the individual person. But one thing is we tell them like it is and we tell them the truth, but in a manner in which they can understand. Now, I think Kim Scott wrote a book called Radical Candor, and in that she gives two things which are absolute great takeaways for all of us. That is challenge directly, but care personally. I think that is brutal honesty, to be honest. That is, you care personally for the person, so you never do anything that will hurt their self-esteem. But at the same time, you challenge them directly. And that is when they respect you as a leader. In fact, sometimes when you do this, some people may not like you, but they'll respect you. And I think that's important for the long term for leaders.
And I feel if there's empathy there and you show that, yes, I'm honest with you, but you know, there's a good reason for this honesty and I know where this takes us and you know, you have to listen to me, they will respect you for those statements.
Absolutely. And some studies have said that if you want to give negative feedback, give that first and then give the positive feedback.
Of course, yeah. And on a positive note, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Always. Yes, leaders are also continuous learners, and that's perfect because everybody who's listening to this is a continuous learner, so they're doing exactly the right thing.
Absolutely, and I mean, your project management podcast, I came across it in 2011, so I've been a listener for nearly 9 years, and it has been great, I mean, for our PMP and everything else, I mean, across the board on project management. And it's really amazing that you've been able to be at it for 9 years and still produce something new every time. And that is not easy. I mean, we can have success for 1 year, but to have success, I mean, you probably started, I know you from 2011, but probably you started way back before that. To have success for such a long time is very tough. I mean, finding new topics and all that. But all I'm saying is curiosity is what leads to continuous learning. I mean, the way I keep myself up is I look at the New York Times bestsellers every week on Thursday. It comes out on Thursday. I look at the New York Times bestsellers. And business bestsellers, I'm usually caught up on the business bestsellers, and I look a little bit on the nonfiction. I don't read everything. I just look at the summaries. A few of them I read. Some biographies, Blow the Bloody Doors Off by Michael Caine. That was one biography I liked. And of course, Elon Musk biography and Steve Jobs biography and Leonardo da Vinci biography. And then a few others. But on the business section, I'm usually caught up. So the way we can be continuous learners is listening to your podcast, blogs. And then the key to make this learning work is to write down what you learn, right? I don't know how many people do that. We listen to something, but then we don't take notes. We don't know what we learned. So what I do is I have in my notes app, you'll see a lot of notes because I make sure that every book I read, I just jot down the main points just so that if I have to look back, I can look back and learn. So that's one way to learn. The one good thing about this current environment we're in is there is so much information out there. We have to be able to curate the information. At the same time, most of the knowledge is free, whether it is through podcasts, blogs, all this is free. And of course, books, as someone said, if you want to buy the wisdom of someone for $17, which took 10 years for them to reach that wisdom, I don't mind spending $17 on a book to get that. And so that's what it, I think we have enough information out there to keep us busy.
Next, leaders are responsible.
Yes, I think Harry Truman said it best. He said the buck stops here. So yeah, basically, I think leaders generally don't engage in blame. They don't engage in back talking or let's say this, if you have something to say about someone or someone else from the team brings up something negative about someone, what you do is you bring the other person and say, hey, let's have a chat with him and then clear this out. So that's one way of taking responsibility. The other way is the window and mirror method, which I read in Good to Great by Jim Collins, where he says that you look out, whenever you achieve success, you give credit to the team by looking out the window. And then when something goes wrong, you look in the mirror and say, hey, I take responsibility. That is the key. So you, when something goes wrong, you don't put it on the team, you take responsibility. And when something goes well, you actually give credit to the team. Now, if we all do this, we're going to be great leaders. So that's one way of taking responsibility. And when you're responsible, even in your personal life, when you take a situation and say, hey, you know, I am responsible for most of the stuff which I have done in my life, then you feel better, actually. Eventually, you'll say, hey, there's nobody to blame. It becomes easier, actually, when you think about it. It's tough in the initial stage, but eventually it becomes easier because there's no one else to blame anything on.
The last trait that we want to look at in today's discussion is leaders are high on self-care. And I think this is particularly important in these troubling times.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so easy for all of us. I mean, for example, I was always waking up early and I used to hit the gym every day, 5:30, 6:30. Now the gyms are closed. It's a little painful, to be honest, to adjust to a new situation. You know, one of the other qualities here, which we haven't discussed, is being flexible, right? So it took a little bit of time for me. Oh my God, the gym is not open. Now what do I do? But then I found some ground exercises I started doing. It's not the same as going to gym, but you have to find some way to take care of yourself. So, you know, sleeping well, having self-compassion, eating well, and making sure you journal, all these self-care activities, which has been taught from the time of Benjamin and Franklin. So all this talk of journaling has been done long time back. Benjamin Franklin talked about it 200 years back. So it's not like this is a new concept or getting up early or taking care of yourself, exercise. None of this is new, actually. None of this is news to any of us. It is just implementation, which is tough. But especially during these times, if we do take care of our bodies well and we eat well and we sleep well and we journal the emotions and everything else, I mean, we'll feel better about ourselves and the way we look at things will change because we are feeling better. So that's what I meant by self-care. And especially at this time, if it means social distancing, if it means wearing a mask wherever you go, I mean, these are small things, but if we take care of it, eventually we'll feel better. So I think that's where I wanted to bring in self-care.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So these are the traits that we wanted to look at. And just to repeat, leaders are visionaries. Leaders grow others. Leaders are generalists. Leaders are quitters. Leaders are brutally honest. Leaders are continuous learners. Leaders are responsible. And we are also high on self-care. That alone is a long list, yet your article lists 27 of these traits. So, Sham, to close our interview today, this is a long list. How do you personally keep all of these in mind, and how do you live up to that kind of a standard?
The second one is tougher, to be honest, than the first one. I'll be honest. I mean, see, since I have written a lot of articles, I can say without any unequation that when we look at authors, we think, oh my God, they might be perfect. They're writing all this. Just because I've written it, I can tell you, I'm not at all perfect. So I want to say, just because I've written all this doesn't mean I do everything well. But all I can say is this, these are reminders. So what I do is I read it myself again and again, once in a while. Reading what we have written for ourselves is a little tougher. We can always read someone else's article, but I still read mine because obviously if I've written all this, I have to follow most of it. I try it, and some of it is, we don't have to remember all this. I'm trying to say that take what is important, and just one thing I can say is this. I have, after all this study on leadership, I've come up with only three things that I think is important for a leader. Just if I had only 2 seconds to tell you what leadership is, or let me say 1 minute, I'll say leadership is about dreaming big, having a vision, ability to inspire others. Because if you're not able to inspire others, you're not going to be a leader. And third is leading by example, which is exactly the point you were trying to say here. How do you lead by example? It is by trying to walk the walk as much as you can, or talk the walk, so that what you say is actually what you're doing. And this is not easy, and we will fall because we are human beings. But when you fall, we recognize that, and then we come back to this. So these are just like guidelines. These are like just values that we can aim for, and we will fall behind. But these are targets we can shoot for. And as I said, I've come up with my leadership philosophy, and others should take the time to come up with their own. And that's why I boiled it down to three things. Just to repeat again, having a big dream or a vision. And then second is ability to inspire others. And third is leading by example. That's where I have come up with my leadership philosophy after doing all this.
Yeah. And so if you read the article, again, it's called 27 Traits of Strong Leaders in Times of Crisis and Turbulence. I think don't let the amount of traits get to you. I mean, go through it, look at what speaks to you personally. And there are probably several in these where you go, yeah, I do this already. This is something that I am already good at. I am a strong leader in this particular trait here. But that one over here, this second one, this third one, yeah, I could be better there. I could improve in these additional traits. And then, you know, work on those and then come back to the article again. Maybe make your own list where you feel, okay, these are the 10 that I need to work on. It's not intended as a be-all, end-all, right, Sham? This is more the, hey, this is aspirational, really.
Yeah, I mean, I can then, you know, like I said, two years back, I had 22. Now I've made it 27. Now, I don't know, after 3 years, I might change it. I mean, I might change a few more things. I might add four more things. Let me put it that way. Because some of this is like, I may not delete anything, but I might add a few more. But all our perspective is from a time, at a particular point of time, right? Anything. And, you know, after some time, we will have a different view on the same thing. And there might be, like you said, one or two of these traits might be better at that time. And some of them, we might have fallen back and we have to get back on it. So I hope this works for people. And I hope at least there is one or two takeaways from this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sham. We will have a link to this article on our website at the Project Management Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sham, and talking to us about the 27 traits.
Thank you so much, Cornelius, and I wish a safe time for all the listeners, and thank you for listening.
Sham Ramanathan is a director of BAQA in global delivery and has been working in the IT world for over 19 years. His mission is to maximize his potential and help others maximize theirs. And that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Please visit pm-podcast.com for show notes, links, transcripts, and PDU information. Our email address is info@pm-podcast.com. And finally, we have this. Stay safe. Until next time.